It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm ready to grab that baton. He's going to have to bend down for me to be able to reach it, because, you know, he's a tall man.
If we win on November 8th, we will once again have a government of, by, and for the people.
You have Trump, who looks like the happy warrior. Hillary looks like the lady who didn't give anybody candy on Halloween, shut her door and turned her lights off.
She's under multiple criminal investigations at this very moment for criminal conduct.
To get contracts in Haiti, they actually said, is this contractor an FOB, friend of Bill? That is classic pay to play, and it's illegal.
Do we want a president who is beholden to no one but you, the American people?
We got work to do to finish what we started 8 years ago.
If you are so sick, if your doctor gives you the worst prognosis, doesn't make a bit of difference. You get out of bed and you vote.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. I thought that was a great piece. It was on Fox and Friends First early this morning, and it sort of lays out, you know, the energy in both camps 4 days before the election, four days. Before really the fate of the nation is determined. This is Friday. I have a lot of news to share with you. I'm going to do that, but we're also going to open the phone lines. It's been a good long while since we've talked, so we need to do that today, and I'll give you the number right now. It's 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. You don't need to call yet because we won't open the phone lines till the second segment, but just a heads up on that. All right, so during the night last night, more WikiLeaks email were released, and it's probably too early in the day for people, you know, to have, you know, there are people that pour through these things and they're not yet reporting, but we do know a few things. This is really interesting. They came out last night about 8:30 last night, or maybe this is the first report I've seen on them. Zero Hedge is reporting this. Moments ago, after teasing its Twitter followers to stay tuned for our FBI DOJ Podesta email special around 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, WikiLeaks released what appears to be part 28 of its Podesta dump, dubbed the DOJ-FBI Huma Special. It has 1,308 email, bringing the total to 45,526. Okay, but what's at the heart of this? We don't really know until they have a chance to look over it. But on first glance, here are a few things. On August 25th, 2015, Lanny Davis, who's a special counsel to President Bill Clinton, I'm sure you've seen him all over the place, a spokesperson for the president and the White House on matters concerning campaign finance investigations, appears to suggest that both Fox News and Megyn Kelly were part of the campaign's pre-coordination with journalists. Davis tells Gene Palmieri the following: personal thoughts would suggest getting a guarantee from Megyn Kelly that she won't be tough on Hillary in a proposed interview, which could be a ratings and media bonanza meant to explain why Hillary wiped her server. And then it goes, it actually publishes the email, of course, in Lanny Davis's own words. He says, I propose that the secretary be on the Megyn Kelly file show for at least 30 minutes. I believe I can reduce the risks, since I know Megyn and Roger Ailes very well, by ensuring that the secretary will have an opportunity to answer tough questions on emails and other issues without interruption. This doesn't mean that he actually accomplished that, but it actually did happen. And he goes on later to say, would love it. This is a P.S. on his email. I would love a chance to talk on phone a few additional background points regarding a conversation I had with Roger Ailes and Megyn some time ago on the subject of a Hillary Rodham Clinton pre-announcement. So the inference is there, and I'm sure you'll hear more about this today. Also, Hillary's lawyer, David Kendall, expressed some concern about information related to the AP preparing to report that the FBI had taken possession of Hillary's thumb drive, a story which the campaign has vocally denied, which may also explain why, as AP journalist Eric Tucker notes, if you wanted to steer, this is an email that Tucker sent to the Clinton campaign, Podesta. If you wanted to steer us away and say that we're misinformed, then I would gladly accept that as well. This is a reporter for the AP. The report is that Hillary Clinton's thumb drive has been FBI has taken possession of it, and this guy from the AP, this reporter, is talking with Podesta and saying, if you want us to say, if you want to steer us away from this and say we're misinformed, you can do that. So Kendall writes back, he's the attorney, says, I can see why you might not want to say who the turnover was to, but it seems to me omitting this may be misinterpreted and certainly will trigger another round of questioning. This may defeat the whole point of the exercise. The statement could be read to imply we turned over the thumb drive and server to the State Department, which we didn't. There they go again. I would recommend saying the Department of Justice. You hear the coaching, you hear the thinking, the plotting, the planning, the control of the information. A year later, we learned that the thumb drive had, in fact, been turned over to the FBI. However, as the FBI reported 2 months ago, it somehow got lost in the process. A laptop containing a copy or archive of the emails on Hillary Clinton's private server was apparently lost in the postal mail, according to an FBI report released Friday. Along with it, a thumb drive that also contained an archive of Clinton's emails has been lost and is not in the FBI's possession. I can't do a thorough discussion of that right now, but you get the point, is that this is all scripted, plotted, it's cover-up, and I don't know why the FBI would say they didn't have it, when it had been lost when they did have it. You know, there's got to be a story there, too, because we know about the feuding between the FBI and the Justice Department. As a matter of fact, we should turn back to our clips, because Catherine Herridge did an update last night on this, and so let's listen, because she's the one that's doing the best reporting on this. This is Fox News last night, Catherine Herridge.
The Wall Street Journal reports that a secret audio recording with an informant discussing the Clinton Foundation led to an internal battle between the FBI and the Justice Department, and tonight we're learning more about the frustration of FBI agents and why the case is not dead.
Revelations from WikiLeaks of special access for Clinton Foundation donors at Secretary Clinton's State Department, as well as new emails, are strengthening pay-to-play allegations. There are two tracks to the FBI investigation, the renewed classified email case, and the Clinton Foundation, with agents out of Southern California, Arkansas, New York City, and Washington, D.C. working the investigation. Arguments over the strength of the evidence drove a wedge between the FBI agents and Justice Department that blocked access to investigative tools such as a grand jury. The issue came to a head last summer after the FBI director announced he would not recommend criminal charges for the mishandling of classified information.
At that time, I'm hearing from the agents that the morale went down pretty bad. A lot of people put a lot of hard work into that.
During his testimony after the announcement, Director Comey was noncommittal about the foundation probe, which was ongoing.
Did you look at the Clinton Foundation?
I'm not going to comment on the existence or non-existence of any other investigations.
Multiple sources say the conflict escalated this summer when Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe met with Justice Department officials who were dismayed the foundation work continued. There are conflicting accounts over McCabe's actions, but former agents say they are deeply troubled by his wife's state Senate race in 2015. Dr. Jill McCabe was personally recruited by a longtime Clinton ally, Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, receiving $675,000. From the Democratic Party and McAuliffe's PAC. The FBI has denied a conflict because the campaign funds were received before McCabe had direct oversight for the email case. Two sources close to the FBI case emphasize that the president's email with Clinton over her private server cast a shadow over the investigation, along with Mr. Obama's repeated comments that there's no there, there.
The president of the United States is communicating with her under a pseudonym. They're not stupid. They can figure that out as well. This is a huge story. It's far bigger than the accusations against Donald Trump. This goes to the heart of fitness of character to serve as commander in chief.
All right. So as Catherine was indicating, and you've heard me say, and you've heard others say, there is an all-out war between justice and the FBI. And generally, you know, the FBI is actually under the Justice Department. They are actually under the head of the Justice Department, Loretta Lynch, and the rank and file agents have ignored orders to destroy laptops, and who knows what's going on with that thumb drive, if they have it or not, and they are proceeding with this investigation. Now, The Guardian this morning has an article, or last night they came out with an article that says the FBI is Trump land. Anti-Clinton atmosphere spurred the leaks. That's what the sources say. They say the deep antipathy to Hillary Clinton exists within the FBI. Multiple bureau sources have told The Guardian, spurring a rapid series of leaks damaging to her campaign just days before the election. So the whole article is about how this is all about politics. There are agents in the bureau who are Trumpsters, and they don't like Hillary, so they've leaked this information, really reducing this to a conflict over just political choices, partisan actions. And there was an interesting interview this morning early with an agent, former agent, Chad Jenkins. And I want to skip ahead, Jeff, and let's play clip one, because he talks about how the agents feel about this. And I would say that I imagine Chad would reject the characterization by The Guardian that they are Trumpsters. Let's listen.
As Brett Baer and both Catherine Hedridge have reported, you know, some of these witness interviews are being the third time of a witness interview. Whenever the FBI is interviewing you for a third time, there's a reason for that. So with the information that we know that agents are now talking and stating off record that there is an avalanche of information and evidence, and that an indictment is probable, if not impeded by the Justice Department, you can be sure the FBI has this locked and key.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about
the FBI has one political appointee within the whole organization, and that's Director Comey. You look at the Department of Justice, it is a litany of political appointees, all little lynchmen for the Clintons and for the Obama administration, and it's littered throughout. That's why you're seeing all these leaks from Department of Justice right now saying that there's this internal turmoil within the FBI. I'm telling you, from everybody I've talked to who is current FBI agents and employees, they're all behind Director Comey 100%, and I think the real litany is in between the FBI and the Department of Justice because of the corruption throughout those the Department of Justice.
You know, Julian Assange has said that the leak.
You know, Megyn Kelly last night said, "Man, it is not normal for the FBI to have this many leaks," but with the fact that Department of Justice is counterattacking and attacking the FBI, at some point in time, you have to put into perspective. FBI agents, minus Director Comey, who was political appointed, all of the senior executives are agents who worked for 20, 25 years within that agency. The last thing they want to see is the hard work to seek justice for all Americans, well, go to waste by political influence.
All right, that was Chad Jenkins on Fox and Friends First this morning, former FBI agent. Now, here's the thing. I just told you The Guardian is saying that, you know, it's because they're Trumpsters. These FBI agents are Trumpsters, and so they're trying to destroy Hillary Clinton because they don't want her to win. You know, to reduce it to a political battle is just the biggest evidence I would give you against that is, as I have said to you before this week, these FBI agents are risking their careers. They're risking their pensions. They're risking their futures. You don't do that just because you prefer one candidate over another. There's something much deeper driving you. And you have to also understand that journalists all over the place are doing everything they can to cover up and help the Clinton administration, or Clinton cabal, I should call it. Politico caught again for sending a story to a Clinton staffer for approval. I wish I had more time to tell you about that. LA Times journalist tweets that he hopes that Trump dies. He hopes his life will end. This is the reporters that, you know, spent time with John Podesta. He cooked them a private meal in his home and planned, you know, how they could help Hillary win a victory. This is collusion at the highest level. So be careful what you read. Remember the source as you read it and understand how to exactly interpret what it is they're saying. I have to take a break. When we come back, we open the phone lines. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Back in 07, my father passed away. My mother had passed away 7 years earlier, and they left me a small inheritance, and I wanted to give back to AFA for all they have done for me.
Carol talks about her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I am an avid listener to AFR, 12 hours a day, and I hear Dan Celia talking about the charitable gift annuity. I liked what the gift annuity offered, donated a certain amount, and from that, I get a check every month, which is retirement income for me.
If you'd like to support the work of the AFA and receive a fixed income for life, a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation may just be what you're looking for. Learn more by contacting the Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. Over the past few decades, it's been argued that a candidate's private life is less important than whatever qualifications politically he might possess. This argument is a complete and unhealthy reversal from previous generations. As Founding Father Samuel Adams explained, he who is void of virtuous attachments in private life is, or very soon will be, void of all regard for his country. There is seldom an instance of a man guilty of betraying his country who had not before lost moral obligations in his private life. Private and public vices are connected, and nothing is more essential than that all persons in places of power and trust be of exceptional character. Therefore, as you vote in the upcoming elections, remember that the private vices of any candidate will absolutely influence public policy.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. A staggering new statistic from our nation's largest city. One-third of New Yorkers are immigrants. That's according to the Mayor's Office for Immigrant Affairs. And a significant chunk of your tax dollars are going to fund programs to assist immigrants, legal or not. In 2014, the city spent close to $14 million a year. In 2015, New York City offered ID cards for immigrants, no matter their status. 900,000 signed up. Today, the city is spending $30 million on programs for immigrants. Now, the city says the free programs help improve the economy. But those free programs are not free. They're paid for by American taxpayers. Now, helping legal immigrants acclimate to America is one thing, but providing for illegals is another. And every dollar spent helping an illegal is one less dollar that's available to help Americans, including legal immigrants. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Several new emails suggest some of Hillary Clinton's top aides and even her lawyer knew she did not turn over all of her work-related correspondence despite this promise.
I responded right away and provided all my emails that could possibly be work-related, which totaled roughly 55,000 printed pages, even though I knew that the State Department already had the vast majority of them.
6 days before that vow, Clinton aide Jennifer Palmieri wrote colleagues that Cheryl Mills was close to a deal with the State Department to release those work emails. Yet when ad maven Jim Margolis chimed in, if there is a release of the 55,000, are there others that are not being released? Definitely, replied Chief Strategist Joel Benenson. Also March 4th, advisor Mandy Grunwald pressed Palmieri on how they decided which emails were personal and then deleted. Family and friends? Are Huma, Philippe, Cheryl, etc. included in the 55,000 work-related, asked Grunwald. A critical question, because the same day, March 4th, Republican Trey Gowdy issued a subpoena for Clinton to preserve official email. Huma Abedin, Philippe Reines, and Mills were all on the State Department payroll and should have had a lot of official emails. Plus, both Mills and Abedin were paid by the Clinton Foundation while they were at the State Department, so their emails could be important to the FBI investigation of the foundation.
All right, so that's the first part of Ed Henry's report. Let's listen to the second.
At her March 10th, 2015 news conference, Clinton did not specify if foundation emails fell under personal.
Emails about planning Chelsea's wedding or my mother's funeral arrangements, condolence notes to friends, as well as yoga routines.
A week later, after another damaging New York Times story about what was personal, Palmieri wrote on March 17th, strikes me as a big problem that the NYT is having selected emails leaked to them. Reines jumped in, there is nothing wrong with anyone having personal email addresses or her emailing someone's private account or vice versa. We're allowed to have personal lives. When someone suggested they set up a call to discuss, Palmieri, who has been quoted in other emails blasting the Catholic Church, said, praise Jesus, please do. Then, in August 2015, Clinton's personal lawyer, David Kendall, urged Clinton aides to edit a fact sheet claiming all work emails starting in March 2009 were turned over. Kendall writing, we know there were other emails using the ClintonEmail.com address prior to that date. Could we make this more vague?
The problem is, the very same day that her lawyer wrote that, August 8th, 2015, Hillary Clinton was dealing with a public records lawsuit, and she swore, under the penalty of perjury, that all of her work-related emails were provided to the State Department.
Okay, so that's Ed's report last night. I mean, Fox is really on this right now. They're doing a great job of, as they always do, certainly, on national security, and they have done a really good job since this thing has broken. You know, before that time, I was not happy with them during the primary. I thought they were very unfair to Ted Cruz and favored Donald Trump, and then they seemed to turn against Donald Trump after he got the nomination. So, you know, it's not always fair and balanced, and you have to choose on Fox who you're going to listen to, too. I mean, Carl Cameron is not a Trump supporter. His reports are extremely biased, the way he couches what he says, the clips he plays. He has a reason, the reason he does the things he does. But others are, you know, I think, at least to my, now we, I just read you that little piece earlier about Lenny Davis coming to Meghan and Roger Ailes and asking them in this interview that they were going to do with Hillary after the server became an issue, that he asked for certain promises, that she have this interview where she could finish her answers. And he talked about how she needed long enough to prep, you know, for those answers instead of having, like, Meghan interrupt and challenge her. And so whether they exacted those promises, you know, I don't know. But the fact that they even thought they could, and it seems like, as I recall, that's kind of what happened. I don't think Meghan was hard on Hillary Clinton. So this is, you know, you really have to pay attention to who it is you're paying attention to. And that's why I really appreciate so many email from you talking about how you listen to this show every morning because you trust the information. And also AFR Talk. I have so many email this morning that I'm not going to be able to read specific things to you. Well, I'll do this. This is from Ocean Springs, Mississippi. Deborah says, my husband and I listen to you every weekday morning before we go to work. Tupelo. Oh, this is Jeff. Jeff is upset with me. I listen to you every morning. It's not my Jeff. This Jeff, did you write this? He said, I listen to you every morning from Tupelo. I just wanted you to know I take offense to your two negative comments about Southerners, Mississippi. There's simply no excuse for this kind of language that will only discredit your program. Well, you know, I did make a joke about Southerners being slow, and I said, you know, and I'm from Chicago, and I'm too fast, so I guess I should have offended myself with my comments. I could just say, Jeff, my whole family history is Southern, from Georgia, Oklahoma, Arkansas, so get a grip and get a sense of humor. All right, so this is from Margaret. She says, it's unsettling to hear people say they can't vote for Trump. I wasn't aware I was casting my vote for me, myself, and no other. I cast my vote not for me, but for my children and grandchildren. I will cast my vote for their tomorrow. To not vote is, in fact, to cast a vote for Hillary Clinton and her heinous platform. How dare we cast the lives of our children and grandchildren into the snake pit and death because we feel offended? She said, most of what I hear offended Christians saying is just parroting the left wing sentiment. They don't even realize they've fallen into the trap, doing exactly what the left hoped they would, which is to do nothing. And what is even more disturbing to me is that it reveals hypocrisy within the body of self-righteous Christians. And then she says, perhaps Romans 2 should be reread by all. Okay, so thanks, Margaret. And then this is from Gina. She says, I was so moved by the interview with Bernard Sansrique this morning that when I got home, I listened again. I was even more disturbed the second time. Bernard was the former president of the Senate in Haiti. And it really is one of the most compelling interviews I've done in a while. And I've done, there have been several. But if you haven't heard it, when he describes how the Clinton Foundation and Bill Clinton and Hillary really raped the resources and the people of Haiti, now they're left, cholera is spreading out, the people are starving, their houses collapse in this latest storm because the money was not spent to help them build up the structures, the infrastructure. The gold mine in Haiti was given, the rights to the gold mine were given to Hillary Clinton's brother, Anthony. The rights to the phone company were given to a friend of the Clintons. Using tax dollars, he was able to buy it, and then he's made over $200 million. Then he turned around and made millions of dollars of donations to the Clinton Foundation. This is how this works, and this is what's called pay to play. And this is what the FBI are spending a tremendous amount of time on, and this is what I believe when they say they have a likely, likely indictment. That's the particular wing of this that they're talking about. You know, Andy McCarthy was saying, I heard him say this in another conversation, that it's really weak to separate, to make FBI agents separate these two prosecutions. It makes them weaker. He said you want investigators to understand the whole picture when they're prosecuting a case, not just have a part of it and another group have another part of it. He said that hamstrings them, that this is kind of one unholy alliance between the Clinton Foundation and the national security leaks on the unsecured servers. By the way, I have been told that it's even more than five foreign agents. It's foreign hostile governments who have hacked Hillary Clinton's email, who likely have secrets. The Secretary of the State holds the highest of our secrets. They've been hacked thoroughly. We believe that we don't have specifics, but we believe that people that have helped us have been put at risk. We have no idea what their fate has been. This is the real consequence. I just have to spell it out. This is the real consequence. And this, Hillary Clinton wants to be president? So these are just some of the latest things. Now I want to go to the phones and talk to you. The phone number again is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Philip. Good morning, Philip.
Yes, ma'am. Here's the situation. We need a new strategy on indictment of Hillary Clinton to be sure she does not get a pardon. I would suggest to make it really a historical moment, indict her on January the 20th when our president is sworn in.
Can you repeat that? You think what should happen when she's sworn in?
No, not when she's sworn in. Whenever Trump is sworn in, because I believe Trump is going to get it. Hands down, anybody's got any common sense, any godly sense, they will vote for Trump. Not because they agree with his background, but the fact is that if she wins, she could be pardoned by Cain.
She can pardon herself. Philip, she can pardon herself. The only thing is, let me give you a dose of, this is also true. Mrs. Clinton still is far ahead in the Electoral College. That doesn't mean it's going to stay that way, but as of today, with you and I talking, she still is far ahead in the Electoral College, and that's what matters. And so I know things are changing, and I know lots of people are optimistic, and I'm one of them, but I just think we also have to be realistic to understand that, according to the numbers, Mrs. Clinton still is in the winner's seat at this point. And so all the more reason, you know, for people who don't want her to be president to get out there and do what they can. Philip, thanks a lot. In fact, let me give you some common sense suggestions on how you might be involved. in this coming election? Because some of you are always asking me, you know, you can put signs up for your candidate. You can make signs for them. You can hold flags with your children, your families, and neighbors and go stand on street corners in support of your candidate. Ask them to honk if they are for your candidate. Boldness. You know, it's really important to be bold right now. And so that's one suggestion. There are lots of people doing that in Virginia right now. And actually, Virginia is in the process of actually shifting, which is amazing because Terry McAuliffe is governor here and he's, you know, so close to the Clintons and he's done everything, including give felons the right to vote. You know, remember that story probably about 3 months ago? They're moving heaven and earth to take Virginia. And yet Virginia is moving in Trump's column slowly. I mean, it's only a couple of points. And as I said to you before, if either candidate doesn't win by like 6 points, there will be contests. We already know that the Democrats are challenging in something like 6 different states. So they're all prepared. They have hundreds of lawyers prepared. You know, they talk about, and on Hillary's side, they talk about Trump not willing to accept the results of the election. They've made much about that. While they themselves are in the spending millions already to try to get an army of attorneys to challenge the results. So this is going to be, don't expect a quick fix on this, and don't expect the left to go down lightly. All right, let me go to Ohio and talk to Lisa. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Sandy. When I look at these two investigations, the one that was, you know, not going forward on in July with the emails and national security, and then with the Clinton Foundation and going forward on that, the message that came out on that is that national security isn't that important. And unfortunately, if they have to go for the one or the other, having previously been in the military and seeing this kind of behavior and this such a cavalier attitude, it's just sending the wrong message. So I hope that at least in this investigation, there will be charges against her.
Well, I think we're all praying for that, Lisa, because it's right. You know, I always think of when I was in Cambodia, I'm not sure how many years ago, I've lost track, but it probably in 2000, seems like. One of the things I heard, Cambodia, of course, suffered after the fall of Vietnam, the invasion from the Khmer Rouge, which is the Red Army, the communists, the like-minded Cambodians with the North Vietnamese. They were spreading the message of communism. And of course, when they went into Cambodia and took it over, the Cambodians just suffered unbelievably. You know, the killing fields, thousands and thousands of people killed. Their skulls now are still piled high. The prison, the S-21 prison where they tortured their intellectuals and neighbors turned against neighbor. And it is the most horrific story. But the point is, I heard from person after person that the problem was that justice was never done. No one was ever held accountable in Cambodia. You can still live next door to someone who was part of the Khmer Rouge who may have, you know, thrown your family member into a pit or shot them in the head. No one was ever punished. No one was ever brought to justice. And so because of that, it was described to me that there's a lot of confusion in Cambodia and a lot of depression and unsettledness because justice restores our mental health. When we restore what is right, we sort out our thinking. And if there's never any justice, this is why even for you and me, if someone corrects us or says, you did this thing and you shouldn't do it, this is a good thing. Correcting us by friends, by foes, a correction is good to get us back on path. God orders our thoughts. Justice brings sanity to a nation. And so I think I'm with you. I think Mrs. Clinton needs to be, Bill Clinton too, they need to be punished for their deeds. And they're really, they're selling the country, selling our secrets, selling our natural resources through our uranium deposits. It's really a shocking story and there needs to be justice. Lisa, I thank you for your comments and also for your service. I'll be back with more of your calls right after this. The phone number is 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hi, this is Nelly Chikwanda from Zambia, Africa. I have been involved in Operation Christmas Child for over 10 years, and I never get tired of seeing our children in Zambia receive your shoebox gifts. Packing a shoebox is simple, and in the hands of God, it becomes a powerful tool. Thank you, and please keep packing these beautiful shoebox gifts.
Visit SamaritansPurse.org or call 800-809-3882.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there is so much uncertainty about what to do and how to do it when it comes to this incredible responsibility to be a good steward of what God's entrusted us with. Whether it's a lot or a little, it's irrelevant. But it's a very scary prospect today in this day of volatility.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia every weekday morning from 8 until 10 Central and Saturday from 10 to 11 on AFR Talk.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Donald Trump has often pointed to the unexpected decision of Britons earlier this year to leave the European Union as a model for his populist campaign and its ultimate poll-defying success. In the end, a majority of British voters rejected the support expressed by their country's governing elite for continuing the steady erosion of UK sovereignty and flows of unassimilable and potentially dangerous migrants. Similar sentiment fuels the Trump candidacy. It may be further sharpened among American voters by the latest development in Great Britain, a court ruling subjecting the execution of the so-called Brexit to more interference from the elite in the form of a vote in Parliament. Americans are on notice that if they do reject this country's bipartisan governing class and elect Trump, he will need a strong mandate to overcome our elite's opposition to making America great again. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I want all the girls in America to know you are valuable. Don't let somebody like this bully tell you otherwise.
At three Florida rallies, Clinton ticked through Trump's most notorious comments about the opposite sex.
He calls women ugly, disgusting, nasty, all the time. He doesn't see us as full human beings.
For proof, she turned to former Miss Universe Alicia Machado, who Trump publicly shamed in 1997 for gaining a little weight.
He said to me, Miss Piggy, Miss Housekeeping, Miss Sitting Machine.
It's a closing argument aimed not just at female voters, but at the men who love them, too.
I wouldn't feel good as a father
voting for somebody like that.
The Clinton camp released a series of ads Tuesday, all of them with the same message.
I can't vote for a man that says such horrific things about women.
Hello, Columbus!
In Columbus, President Obama warned Trump is unlikely to change.
If you disrespected women before you were elected, you will disrespect women once you're president.
But in Fort Lauderdale, a protester interrupted Clinton with a sign that said her husband is a rapist, a common occurrence at Clinton rallies that set her off last night.
I am sick and tired of the negative, dark, divisive, dangerous vision and behavior of people who support Donald Trump.
Clinton aides insist the race is not as tight as new polls suggest. And yet they've begun airing ads in four states that supposedly tilt their way: Michigan, Virginia, Colorado, and New Mexico.
The Clinton campaign says that is not a sign of nervousness. It's a sign that they still have a startling $150 million in the bank with 1 week to go. So why not put it to good use, especially if it helps candidates down the ballot?
But all right, that's a CBS report. We're running out of time. So you heard Mrs. Clinton, of course, going after Trump, and she's the champion of women. You know, that always strikes me really strange, and because I know too much. You know, Mrs. Clinton is the defense attorney for that woman who was raped. Now, this is a court record. This happened. Sometimes people say Juanita Broderick didn't ever file charges. Okay, we'll talk about the young girl, 12 years old, who actually there was a court case, and Mrs. Clinton was the defense attorney for the rapist, and she made the little girl out to be the little girl was a virgin, and in the trial, Mrs. Clinton claimed that the little girl liked older men and was complicit. I mean, she did what, you know, do I need to explain what has happened to women through the years when they are blamed for these rape allegations? That's what Mrs. Clinton did. And then she is on tape twice laughing about it in the last, I don't know if it's like a decade ago, there's a tape of her laughing about how they got rid of some evidence and how she got this guy who was guilty off. And it ruined this girl's life. She was one of the four that attended that debate and sat in the balcony with Juanita Broderick and Kathleen Willey. So she's a champion of women, all right. Just not, you know, and not the women that were abused and molested and raped by her husband. And a WikiLeaks in the dump just this morning. Now, I cannot tell you a lot about this yet. I'm just going to give you a heads up on it, and I'll tell you what I do know. But there is this terrible story about the Clintons' relationship to a woman named Laura Silsby. She's the former director of the New Life Children's Refuge. She was caught trying to steal 33 children from the country, most of whom were not even orphans and had families. Mrs. Clinton has a long history of interest in Mrs. Silsby. WikiLeaks emails dating back to at least 2001 have been found in her archives discussing Laura's NGO, Laura Silsby, New Life Children's Refuge. Laura has claimed she planned to build an orphanage in the Dominican Republic, but authorities in the country said she never submitted applications. They instead located to Haiti. And then they cite all of these emails, which I didn't have a chance to read, but Huma Abedin was constantly forwarding Hillary's articles on this woman's organization. One of the first things Hillary did when she took over the scene in Haiti was to get Laura off the hook. And there's a link to that. And the attorney who represented Laura Silsby, a man who was himself convicted as a sex trafficker. Even more disturbing, we uncovered an email in WikiLeaks where they are literally pricing how much it costs to transport children. And again, this is the same group, Laura Silsby's New Life Children's Refuge, that got busted by Haitian authorities for trafficking children. And they are all in the Clinton emails. And by the way, we'll put this... I'll put this link on our Facebook page so you can read it and you can go to those links. This is the latest, a tweet from WikiLeaks. I'm going to have to find the source and forward it so Jeff can post it. But she's all about kids, but maybe not Miss Champion of Women. And we'll hear more about that, I'm sure, as the day goes on. All right, let me go back to the phones. Hang on 1 second. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Valissa. Good morning, Valissa.
Hi, Sandy. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I am wonderful. My spiritual mother is 84 years old, and she calls you our underground for giving us what we can't get on regular news. But what I wanted to say was,
Hillary Clinton, I'm reminded of the scripture from Mark 4:22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither shall anything kept in secret, but it should come abroad. At one time, my pastor preached a sermon, bed too long, sheet too short, and I've heard hundreds of sermons from him, but that one always sticks with me. And what is happening, things are not falling apart, as Jay and Markel will often say, but they're falling in place. And I just like to encourage everyone to keep their eyes on Jesus and not the chaos, but keep things in perspective that Jesus is in control and he's giving us directions to follow.
Melissa, beautiful. And I love that verse you just quoted, that the things that are hidden will all come to light. That goes for all of us. And that's why we have to live lives that as much as possible are blameless and confess our sins when we sin and make sure the slate is clean. And that's when God can really fill us and use us and empower us to fight these battles. He can't use warriors that are compromised. He does use flawed people, so I have to think about that. But I don't think people who know Jesus and who have really experienced his cleansing power, I think they're exempt from that. I think that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and have incredible power, the power of the Spirit, same power that raised Christ Jesus, if we do not have sin in our lives. And that's really what I'm referring to. Melissa, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go to Michigan and talk to Alex. Good morning, Alex.
Hello, Sandy. Pleasure to speak with you. I had the distinct pleasure of meeting you and Frank Gaffney over here at the American Decency Center a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was a great meeting. I enjoyed that. And thanks for coming, Alex.
Yeah, what I was calling about is I listen to AFR all day, every day, and I hear a lot of people not wanting to vote for Trump because of their conscience. And it reminds me of the parable of the talents, you know, where the servant who had one talent said to his master, "I was afraid. I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed." You know, that reminds me of like the fact that people are scared because of their conscience to vote for Trump. But you know, there is no other choice. You know, to think that a third party candidate is going to get elected is just fooling yourself. You know, I think if you vote for a third party candidate, you're pretty much burying your vote in the sand. You know, and you're going to have to stand accountable to that, because we know what Hillary Clinton's going to give us, and you know that all those abortions are going to be on the people who just wanted to bury their vote in the sand and didn't want to stand up, because you know Trump said he's against partial birth abortion, and you know I'm not for abortion in certain cases, but you know it's a start, and we got to start somewhere. But
yeah, Alex. Yeah, good points. And I know some people won't agree with you, but I think you've made some very good points. Thanks for calling. And let's go to Michael in Texas. Good morning, Michael.
Well, good morning, Sandy. Thank you so much for allowing me to call.
My pleasure.
If you give me a moment, I think you'll appreciate this. I'm but a drop in your bucket, a non-Christian, and in your vast sea. Christian community, and subsequently I and our nation, am directly impacted by the ebb and flow of the church's actions and movements. Because of this, I can only speak within your teachings, the Bible, and your principles, the teachings of your Jesus. And in my own opinion, and we all know what they say about opinions, and from my position watching up from the hill, from my battle experience, there appears only two options left at this point. The war, the saving of our nation, is at a crossroads. The church can, the church can continue to fight this battle divided. It's written, the house divided cannot stand. If the Christians continue to fight this battle divided, it's almost certain death for you, me, and our nation. Or two, there sometimes is the necessity to retreat, regroup, and stand together and have a better chance of victory and life. Retreat's not always a failure, but sometimes a necessity tactic to defeat the enemy.
You know, the sad part is that the church had a group of powerful defectors, those that called themselves evangelical pastors, that actively worked to destroy us all by putting their support early on for who obviously was against your Christian teachings and principles. If they had stood with Cruz in the beginning instead of Trump, I doubt you or I would be having this discussion now.
All right, Michael, you're making some great points, but can you wrap it up? And I want to ask you something.
All right. Very simply, in full disclosure, you know, I have always been an avid never-Trumper, but I will probably pull the lever for him to hopefully help buy you guys some time to regroup and get y'all's act together.
Michael, you make some very good points. I'd ask you a question. Why aren't you a Christian? Why don't you believe in Jesus? Just give me a quick answer, and then you and I can talk later on another day more fully. But why?
History.
Your history? World history?
Is that church's history?
Oh, man, you can't let the church's history stand in the way. Michael, you know a lot.
I'm talking about the early history. Yeah.
You have a lot of knowledge, and it sounds to me like you know a lot of things. And it seems to me you like truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I just want to say to you, don't close that door. Do not close that door. And it's not about you voting for Trump. I don't care about that. I would care about your heart and your soul and your future, your eternity. And I'm telling you, Jesus is the way. I've been all over the world. I have talked to people from every culture you can imagine. I know a lot about world history. I know a lot about church history. It's filled with flaws. The Bible's filled with damaged, messed people. But God redeems. And it's in Him that we trust, not in the history, not in the people, but in Him. The only God who gave His only Son to die for our sins. So whatever is in your personal life that you think God can't forgive or you don't want to stop doing is not worth keeping you apart from that God who loves us so much. A unique God, unlike any other God, not like Buddha, not like any of the Hindu gods, not like Allah. This is a loving God, unlike any other, who provided a way for us to be in relationship with Him. And so don't take that lightly, and don't confuse your knowledge for understanding or having enjoyed His presence in your life. That's what I would want for you, a whole lot more than you coming around politically to what I think is a reasonable viewpoint. And I'm going to let you go with that. I know that's not fair, but call me back sometime and we will have a longer discussion about that. I want to get to Karen in South Dakota. Karen, good morning.
Good morning, Sandy. I know the time is short, but I just want to remind people of what Bill Buckley said, and that was that we should vote for the most conservative candidate that can win. And I hear so many Christians say, well, they can't vote for Trump because of conscience thing, like the previous caller mentioned. But a third-party candidate cannot win, and a vote for a third-party candidate is actually a vote for Hillary, or a not voting also is a vote for Hillary. So we have two viable choices, and I hope people will choose Trump. He will change the makeup of the Supreme Court, which is very important to believers. If we get the court changed, we could reverse Roe v. Wade and stop
Karen,
the slaughter of unborn babies.
You're making some great points, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you hear the music, and I have to. Otherwise, you're going to be gone in a flash. But thank you for calling and for listening, and you did get some really good points, even if it was short. Well, it's Friday, and be sure and on your knees before God. Me too. As soon as I hang up, I've got to spend time with the Lord. You can't neglect that right now, because all of these things can overtake you and discourage you. But as our earlier caller said, God is in control. He's sovereign. So let's on our knees before Him. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.